This is Rusty Tandon.
And Amber Ray.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that likes a little booze with its art. In this episode, Amber interviewed Molly Crabapple, originator of the Dr. Sketchy's concept. Then we interviewed Laurie and Will, who are in charge of Dr. Sketchy's Atlanta.
Hey, this is Amber, and I am on the phone with...
Molly Crabapple, hey.
And you are in New York, right?
That I am, right now.
Well, through the wonders of technology, we can talk. And you are the founder of Dr. Sketchy's, yes?
Yes, indeed.
So tell us all about it.
Well, the illustration for Dr. Sketchy's lays on my doorstep. Basically, Dr. Sketchy's is a cabaret life drawing class. That means that a bunch of artists, they get together in a bar, they get furiously drunk, they draw some gorgeous burlesque girl or some crazy circus freak or just some super hot guy, and they compete in silly contests, and they win prizes, and they listen to good music, and it's nothing like art school at all.
That sounds pretty awesome. I like the part about getting ridiculously drunk.
A lot of people do. It's surprising and worrying.
Well, but it sounds like that's part of the original plan. So, you know, I guess it's all working out.
Yep.
So what was your original motivation for starting this and how long has it been going on?
Well, when I was in art school, I used to work as a naked model. And when I got into the business, I thought it was going to be terribly Parisian and decadent and romantic. And my head was all stuffed filled with fantasies from books. And let me tell you, I was completely wrong. So I started Dr. Sketchy's to create a drawing class that jived with my fantasies of a sort of, you know, bohemian Toulouse-Lautrec type atmosphere, and also to create an opportunity for models to get paid a higher wage than I did back when I was posing. And the thing has been going since December 2005.
So the thing about getting paid a higher wage, that's interesting because I always wondered, I mean, I didn't even know, I know pretty much nothing about any of this other than having friends who went to art school and went to live drawing classes. But so the models do get paid typically, is that right?
Of course. There's no way, I hope, that anyone would cramp their back and stare at the ceiling for 3 hours for free.
Well, I didn't think so, but I mean, I don't know. I'm no longer shocked when it comes to, you know, people screwing other people over, so... Just wondering. So how do you manage to get a better wage for your models?
Well, one of the things is I pay them in New York. I pay them a base wage of $60 for 3 hours, but then I also have a tip jar out and I hustle tips as if I was working a strip club. I mean, I am just the best barker for getting artists to take out their wallets and throw in their fives and tens and twenties. And usually by the end of it, the model comes out with an additional $60 in tips.
Nice.
And the artists also wildly applaud for them because all my models are wonderful performers as well as simply gorgeous girls.
And how do you go about finding people to be models?
Well, I work as a burlesque dancer in New York, so I just hired all my friends.
Oh, okay. How often do you have these meetings in New York?
In New York, we do them every other week.
Okay. And so I know the reason that we're doing this interview in the first place is because very soon there's going to be a Dr. Sketchy's right here in Atlanta. And I think it's happening, the first one, in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from now. And it's going to be a monthly thing. And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit. I mean, it seems just like this massive thing now that these things have sprung up in cities all over the world. What do you think about all that?
Well, I mean, it's exciting, first of all. I mean, whoever expects like some little, you know, fantastical drawing class they think up to catch all these people's imaginations? I mean, right now we are getting close to having about 30 Dr. Sketchy's. We
wow.
have them in Tokyo, in Australia. We've got them in London and Rome and Finland. We have two in Finland.
Oh, my gosh.
We have them in every single major city in America. So, yeah, they're really everywhere, and they were all inspired by my little New York class. Now, the way it started to spread was that when I was advertising Dr. Sketchy's online, people kept writing to me, and they said, wow, that's so cool. I wish I lived in New York. There's nothing like that in Utah. And I thought, why shouldn't there be? So yeah. I wrote an FAQ and I told people that they could, you know, as long as they stuck to certain rules, that they could use my idea. And ever since then, it's spread like wildfire.
That's so cool. So it really just started from you just doing your thing and talking about it on the internet and people becoming interested.
Exactly.
Wow. So what are some of the rules that people have to follow in order to do one of these themselves?
Well, the first rule is I want everyone to pay, you know, the models decent wages.
Right.
The second rule is that they have to give me credit everywhere. And the third rule is that they must acknowledge my eternal kingship and bend down and kiss my feet in their yearly pilgrimage to New York. It's very important.
Nice. That's probably the most important rule, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
What was the first city, aside from New York, to start doing Dr. Sketchies?
Norfolk, Virginia.
Really? That's random.
I know, exactly. It's very interesting. The first four cities were Norfolk, Portland, which the first Portland session folded after one session because they're flaky there.
Oh.
Then Randers, Denmark, and then Melbourne, Australia. Those were our four pilot cities.
Wow. That is really random. But I love it, you know, because you hear about a lot of stuff happening in New York and L.A. and Paris and, you know, all these same cities where this stuff always happens, but these random cities, I think that's awesome.
Thank you. I mean, one of the things that was so interesting about Dr. Sketchies was it really proved the power of the internet, because you take this live event, you know, which happens in real life, but you put the instructions for it on the internet and then suddenly it spreads in the most, like some sort of bubonic plague of art and it's everywhere. I mean, we've only been going for a year and a half. I can't even imagine what our second year will bring.
Yeah, that's pretty damn impressive. And it really does show the power of the internet. I mean, I just recently organized a podcasting conference called PodCamp, and it was a similar idea. Some guys started one in Boston, and then the idea just kind of took off, and people have been doing them all over the world. And I just think it's really exciting to see stuff like this happening because of the internet. But I won't go off on my little "the internet is great" spiel. What are some of the prizes that the artists compete for? You mentioned that earlier.
They vary all over the world. We've had everything from like super good stuff, like big expensive gift certificates to art supply stores, to a can of spotted dick that my cohort tracked down. That was for St. Patrick's Day. We did an offensive St. Patrick's Day one. We did it. It was the that was our Anglophile Dr. Sketchies, where we had the girl dressed up as Queen Elizabeth.
Nice. So do they all have a theme usually? I mean, I guess you don't know because there's so many of them all over the world. But I mean, do yours in New York have a theme?
We try to. I mean, a lot of it has to do with the influence of my best friend, John Levitt. See, I sort of take care of all the boring business stuff, and John Levitt takes care of a lot of the crazy creative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things is thinking of incredibly weird themes for all the Dr. Sketchies to sort of work around the model's personality.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tracks down prizes like Spotted Dick and makes incredible mix CDs, and we all dress up in costumes. Our last Dr. Sketchies, or not the last one, but a few sessions before, was tax-themed.
Nice.
Where we all dressed up like accountants, and we insisted on referring to it as the government-issued drawing session number 5337.
Nice. You know, I never would have thought of accountants as being sexy, but I guess you learn something new every day.
Yes. John ended it with a furious go-go where he covered himself in calculator paper.
Nice.
adding machine paper.
That's awesome. Is there any kind of like community for all the people who are involved in Dr. Sketchies all over the world to sort of come together?
Do you mean a physical space or online?
Either one.
I would love for there to be a SketchyCon at some point, but so far most of the intermingling has just been, you know, sort of informal.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have message boards on drsketchy.com, and I did a book tour, so I got to meet a lot of, you know, a lot of the people who run Dr. Sketchies. We also have a mailing list, and a lot of times the people who run the different Dr. Sketchies, they gossip and trade secrets and stuff.
Cool. So you need to talk about your book a little bit too.
Yes. Well, one of the coolest things Dr. Sketchies got me was it got me a book deal. My first book, Dr. Sketchies Official Rainy Day Coloring Book, came out in December 2006. And it's basically one part sort of saucy, dirty-minded burlesque coloring book, one part history of how Dr. Sketchy started when I was a broke, naked model, and one part handbook for how to start your own doctor sketches. So far, for like a tiny book from an unknown publisher with no distribution, it's been selling like wildfire. I did a 10-city national book tour, and I brought Dr. Sketchies to cities lacking in sketchiness.
Did you come to Atlanta for that?
I didn't. The farthest south I got was Raleigh.
Oh, okay. Almost.
Someday, though, I do want to go to Atlanta.
You should. It's awesome here. I'm shameless in my promotion of Atlanta. I really think it's a great city.
I need to convince people to fly me out to different cities as the Dr. Sketchies founder.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Getting the money to fly places.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So what other things do you have planned? I remember reading something about a gallery show and a pinup calendar.
Well, we're doing a 2008 pinup calendar of my illustrations of models from different branches of Dr. Sketchies. There's a sacrilegious end page, I must say. We're also doing the inaugural Dr. Sketchies Anti-Art Show in October, where we are searching the world for the 13 best artists who have drawn the most hilarious or perverted stuff at Dr. Sketchies, and we're going to give them a gallery show in New York.
Oh, wow.
We're also doing a 24 Dr. Sketchies run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. We have, like, you know, some... We have this amazing MC, and we have this gorgeous model, and I'm going to Edinburgh for that.
Nice.
Me and the Dr. Sketchies Edinburgh organizer, Phyllis, are collaborating on this madness.
What kind of festival is that?
The Fringe Festival? It's the largest arts festival in the world, actually.
Oh, God. Well, now I sound like I'm completely not cultured because I've never heard of it. Oops.
The Edinburgh Fringe Festival is... Well, it's like a film festival and a theater festival and a books festival.
All right, I gotcha. Well, everybody knows that I'm uncultured, so I should just own it.
But it lasts an entire month, and it takes over the entire city of Edinburgh in Scotland. And
oh, wow. So what advice would you have for people who are interested in starting their own Dr. Sketchies?
Well, I would tell them, first of all, to email me, and I will hook them up. But secondly, at this point, Dr. Sketchies has become big enough that just the fact that it launches in a city is newsworthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, two of the recent sessions that launched in Sydney, Australia, and in Madison, Wisconsin, had 80 people each, which I think is amazing for a drawing class, and they
wow.
got tons of press coverage. And so if you work it right at this point, Dr. Sketchies is finally the sort of thing which, you know, can get you some nice media and get you a little bit of money. The other thing I would tell you is to treat your models like gold, because their beautiful faces and forms will make you or break you.
Well, do you have any other words of wisdom or thoughts or just information about where to find out more?
Well, words of wisdom. I would tell the youth of America today that all they need is a lack of shame, a good textbook on marketing, and an iron-fisted determination to make their dreams of imperialism happen. And if you want to find out more, you can go to drsketchy.com, which is my own dream of imperialism come to life.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Molly.
Okay, so we're here with Will and Lori, the masterminds behind the Atlanta edition of the Dr. Sketchies sketch. What would you call it?
Well, why don't we ask Lori and Will, what would you call it?
Dr. Sketchies.
Dirty life drawing.
Dirty life drawing. Okay, so we've already talked about Molly Crabapple, so we know the basic premise behind Dr. Sketchies, or at least, you know, Amber did, and I apparently didn't.
You'll hear it later.
You'll hear it later. So what inspired you to start up a Dr. Sketchies in Atlanta?
You want to go first?
Well, our paths converged after both of us expressed interest to Molly that we wanted to help start up the Atlanta chapter.
Yeah, and we actually didn't know each other beforehand.
Right.
Oh,
so that's pretty cool. And then I guess I became aware of Molly a couple of years ago through fetish drawings. And then you have Apache Cafe that does their Monday night live drawings. They've been doing that weekly for almost 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had God's name. There's a Scott professor, drawing professor, that started the Boozer Doodle with Dames of Flame.
Vortex, yeah.
So we wanted to get this thing moving as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, you know, what the other guys are doing is good because for the entire industry, I don't think you can have too many people promoting art and fun and performance.
Right. We're all doing these things on different nights anyway, so the more people you can get involved and get out and get creative, it's better for everybody.
But what Molly's does, rather than the other ones, is gives the possibility for, you know, national or international attention, which is, you know, I think even better for the community. So that was sort of my approach to it.
And then mine was completely different. I was a figure model for a long time, and a lot of Molly's experiences really hit home with me. The boring, nobody wants you to talk. If you ask for a heater, they look at you like they're going to shoot you. And that was really the reason that I actually stopped modeling. Mm-hmm. And when I...
They didn't give you a heater?
Oh, you wouldn't believe.
That's terrible.
I've got a heater.
No, they're okay in the wintertime, but in the summertime, you know, everything's air-conditioned, and they're still in there in their long sleeves, and you're naked, and you're shivering, and they're like, could you hold still, please? Anyway, so we encourage our models to be sassy and talk back, and they will probably hit us if we let them freeze. But I also know a lot of the burlesque girls, and the Lucky Cat in New York, where Molly has hers, was started by a friend of mine. And that was the first place I heard of it. And
nice.
Then, yeah, and then, I don't know, I ran across someone else that was doing it, and it just seemed to click with all the different, you know, areas that I'm coming from. And then his background is totally different, so we were hoping we could, you know,
just
the energy,
be a good balance.
Opposite energy. And,
yeah. Where are you going to find models for the Dr. Sketches?
There is no shortage of models.
No shortage of models.
No shortage of models. There are so many burlesque troupes. The Roller Girls have, you know, said they're interested.
I was at a party last night. Some girls that spin fire that dress up in costumes are interested.
Yeah. Are they the girls who beat the shit out of each other with power
the
tools?
The Terror Twins?
No.
I know them, too, and Ruby has actually said that, yeah, she would like to do it. So.
Wow, neat.
Because I used to work with them at the Chamber.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the fetish models, I know them, and they're all like, yes. So, yeah, we have girls fighting over being a model. So.
Yeah, we'll be booked out. Hopefully, we're going to start doing it monthly.
Uh-huh.
The first one will be at Sutra, May 21st, Monday. We'll start a little late because it is a night club. So it's going to start at about 9:30.
Yeah.
Then we'll... Then the goal is to move it to the Star Bar for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do a monthly, either on a Wednesday or Thursday, early evening, mm-hmm. say like a 6 to 9, I think we're looking at. And we should have dates confirmed for that here shortly.
Mm-hmm. So what's this event tonight? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Is it related at all?
The only way it's related is that our first three models are coming from the burlesque troupe that is having
burlesque.
The benefit. Big City Burlesque. Our first model is the Sapphire Swan, and then there's two girls that are going to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Which is the exotic what?
Miss Exotic World.
And actually, you know, Molly's going to be there.
So this is a fundraiser tonight.
And we were donating some things, and you know,
are we donating a comic book? Could we get the comic book?
Well, the comic books came today, but my post person left them outside in the rain.
Oh, no.
So we have some soggy comic books.
Oh, God.
So I'll be drying them in a hair dryer. Yes. Welcome to the ghetto.
Well.
Anyway. But, you know, going back to why we wanted to do this, but the whole cross-promoting thing and bringing all the different aspects together was one of the driving things for me, and that's why we're so involved with this event tonight.
Well, you know, a lot of people that are in the arts really don't concentrate on you know, cross-promoting.
Mm-hmm.
And Lori's been saying it, you know, from the word go, that, you know, we should build on the strengths of the relationships with people that we have and
mm-hmm.
with what they're doing in the future and what we're doing and being able to get the information out as, you know, as quickly as possible. And then with podcasting and MySpace, you know, that helps so much as well. You know, we've been able to ramp up with a matter of weeks to get this first one off the ground. We've almost got 10 artists signed up, and typically you don't see more than 15 to 20 at these events. So we've, I think, accomplished a lot just in the last few weeks.
Definitely.
And you said it's just been a few weeks, so it was, wow.
Yeah, we've really only been going with this for about 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You just brought all this together in 2 weeks? Wow.
Yeah, well, you had been working for about a week before.
This isn't our first time to the rodeo, so we've all...
It's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can be impressed, right?
Yes, please.
We will take your impressive.
Thank you.
What does organizing this entail?
Well, I'm more the back end person, and he knows so many more people in the art community than I do, and he's really been getting out there and talking to people at various places like that, and I've been taking care of a lot of the web stuff and emailing and sending out the press releases, because that's more my strength. Between the two of us, we've just kind of been hitting it from all angles.
That's awesome.
And so far, everybody's been doing a lot of promotion.
And everybody's really excited about it, so,
Yeah. Well, typically we're going to have the way it works, and what Molly probably told you already, is basically we have the model. She sets up, and she'll do a series of poses, starting out with very quick poses, getting acclimated to the environment. And as the evening progresses, it eventually will go to a 20-minute pose. So you have these short poses, and then in between, for like the best drawings or the quickest drawings or the best painting, we will be giving away coloring books and and booze. We'll be giving away shots. So it's going to be very interactive between the artist and ourselves. And then people can also come, even if they're not going to be participating in the event. They're more than welcome to come and have cocktails with us as well.
So it's a social event too. It's not just art.
Definitely, we're focusing also on the social aspect of it.
Yeah.
Another question I have is, I assume people bring their own materials to draw with as opposed to being provided, or
80-90% do, but then. If we'll have some pads and pencils as well. If people show up, if the slackers show up,
especially since we're going to be in bars and stuff, people can just drop in, have no idea this was happening, and decide that they want to. And
because I don't walk around with a 3-foot high sketch pad and some charcoal, and
you don't.
I don't know.
Haven't you noticed?
I don't know where I'd put it.
This is why we carry purses.
Well, I know this is very different in many ways from traditional figure drawing, but with the ones that don't involve booze and aren't at a bar, I guess it's not a thing where anybody can show up, or is it?
Well, those are, you can. Mm-hmm. Some of them you can. Just, pay your money and show up, but there's very little social interaction going on.
So this might be a way
for... Well, in a formal figure drawing class, it's only the artists that are in the room with the model. And typically they're, I don't know if you've seen artist models before, but it's typically fully nude, and they could be older, they could be larger, they could be, you get all shapes and sizes. So, and there's a formalness to it.
Right.
It's very clinical almost. So where this is, we keep it a little bit more fun. The models won't be fully nude. They will, will have clothes on. But that's half the fun, is just to be in fun costumes like that.
Right.
Yeah, we really want this to, not only for the artist to be drawing a shape sitting on the model stand, but we want them to be drawing her personality, or his personality. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we will have some men at some point brave enough to model for us.
So this, do you think this might be a way for people who are interested in getting started with drawing to sort of take that step? And
nothing like a good drink to loosen your inhibitions.
Exactly.
Get you a copy of Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain.
Yes.
And do a shot of Wild Turkey and come on out.
It'll be good to go.
I know drinking improves everything else I do, so.
Exist while you're doing it.
Because one time he got drunk and deleted a podcast.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
So that doesn't always miss.
Well, somebody erases the drawing. It's, it's not that tragic. But actually, that's how...
Makes the hand fall a little more loosely.
That's one of the ways that we're encouraging people to get out. They're like, I haven't drawn in years. And I told several of my friends, everybody's going to be drunk. Nobody's going to be laughing at your drawing except for maybe the model.
Well, and this just makes it accessible on so many levels to people. You're in a bar environment, there's drinks involved, you're not having to drive, it's here in town, you're not having to go up to School Arts Center or Callan Wall to, you know, or to go and do a drawing class on some evening with some other people you really don't know. You know, this is pretty much meant for people to, you know, mingle and meet each other and to have a lot of fun with it. So accessible, you know, it's very accessible.
You mentioned the contests, and there are contests, drawing contests, and things, but, I mean, participation is encouraged, but we're not going to make anybody, you know, stand up and show their masterpiece or not masterpiece, so people can participate to their level of comfort. So.
Do you have any other questions?
Didn't they do something like this at the Vortex recently?
That's Boozer Doodle.
Yeah.
And that's the SCAD professor, he's a drawing teacher, and I can't recall his name, I apologize, but yeah, they're doing it on Tuesdays once a month, and they had their first event in April, and they sold out. Now Molly has some issues with those guys. There is a little bit of a controversy there.
But that event also is pretty much specifically for one particular troupe of burlesque girls, the Dames of Flame. They only use their girls, and it's more of a benefit for them than it is, you know, something encompassing the whole community. So that is where we are going to be different, because we've got way more than one troupe. We have way more than burlesque girls.
We're all about open source.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Very nice.
Nice geek term. That's good.
Very good work. Well, speaking of geek stuff, where can people find your website or information on
the
web?
We're on MySpace.
Yeah.
It's myspace.com/...
Dr. Sketchy Atlanta.
Okay.
Dr. Sketchy's Atlanta, pardon me.
Is that Dr. spelled out or abbreviated?
Dr.
Okay.
Sketchy's Atlanta.
Right.
Excellent.
Any parting thoughts?
Well, if you really want to know more, I guess go check out Molly's site. She's been doing this for a while and definitely has more information than us at the moment.
But yes.
Stay tuned, because this will be fabulous.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.